sir.
Amen.
You're like, what?
Yeah. Lovely picture up there, so what more can I say?
You're like, what?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. I'm always happy when I get to see Pastor Bob and Sibylle. We've been friends. Actually, with Pastor Bob, it would be 29 years now we've been friends. That's kind of scary. We met in kindergarten, of course. But, yeah, nobody believes that line anymore. They're like, yeah, shut up. Anyway, I am glad to be here, but also, of course, with your pastors. I really love them. Well, and even if they didn't want me to come anymore, I'd somehow find a way to make it here and do something just to hang around with these guys. But I am glad to be here with you. We had a great time in the Bible school yesterday. Thanks to all of you who came. It was great, very easy to teach a great group of people. And I expect we're going to have a good time this morning as well. But before I get into what I'm going to share and some things God was just talking to me about for you, I want to give you a little bit of an update, and you can see some of my wonderful pictures up here. I am not Mr. Techie Photography whatever guy, so just be happy with what I got, even if it looks pretty cheesy. It's like, who made this, a three-year-old? Yes, me. No. But I do want to give you a little bit of an update, and this picture here to start with is from when I was in Norway, and I believe that was in June, when I was teaching about the Holy Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit. Normally, they would have about 80 or 90 students in that school, and they made that an open weekend that people who were interested in the school, they could come and be involved, and they had about 130-some people came that weekend. It was amazing. We had a great, great time. And on the next slide there, I put a reference to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So really, I'm just following the commandment that Jesus gave to go and make disciples. We need people to get to know Jesus. We need converts, of course. But Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go make disciples. And you're supposed to teach people to observe what he said. So that's exactly what I'm doing, and you're helping me to do that because you guys are supporting me. So you hear maybe something on the news about Germany, about Europe, whatever. Just think about, there's some good things happening over there, and you are involved in it because of your support for me. Now, on the next slide, you can see some of the classes that I've done this year. I forget the exact amount. I think there's about 20-some that I do altogether. And this year, I've done about 15 or so, Believer's Authority Part 2, which is about the name of Jesus, and some different things in Bible history, Bible interpretation, which we did just a little bit about yesterday. Also, Bible research and study methods, blood covenant, end times, Holy Spirit, introduction to missions, introduction to world religions, Old and New Testament, and time management. And I've done all of those at least once somewhere this year. Right now in Germany, we have the numbers change because we keep opening new schools. The way it works is we have what we call the basic training and then the advanced training. The basic training is some very foundational courses like the ones you're seeing there. And we go through these different classes, and once people have successfully completed that, they're able to go into what we call the advanced training, and then they can graduate from the school. The way we do our campuses is that we have a minimum number of people. We usually shoot for about 50 people per campus, which a lot of them will start. Some maybe don't stay with it. But we'd like to start out with 50 students per campus. So any location that we have, once we have a team of people that are ready to help, because it doesn't just happen automatic. Nothing happens automatically. And so once we get a team of people that are committed to help and be involved, and we've got enough students, we'll restart the campus. And right now, within Europe, there are, I believe it's, I had some notes here and I lost them somehow, so I'm learning how to use my little tablet, so have mercy on me. But right now, there are 33 campuses in, I believe it's 13 different nations in Europe. And starting next year, we're going to start one in the northern part of the Netherlands, a place called Groningen. And we're also going to start one in Albania. Not us personally necessarily, but Rhema is. Because I'm not just involved with what Rhema is doing in Germany, but also with what Rhema is doing all over Europe. And so some of these classes that I've taught, I've been in a lot of different places teaching them. And if you go to the next slide, you can see a few pictures of where I've been. In the upper left, there's a picture of me teaching in Cologne. That was just a couple of months ago. On the upper right was me in Northern Ireland. That was back in March. Had a lot of fun with those guys up there. There's a place called Londonderry. It's about an hour or so to the west of Belfast, which I'm sure you've heard of. In the middle there is me teaching at the campus in Hamburg. Then on the bottom left is when I was in Norway, one of the two times. I forget which one it was. And then also on the bottom right when I was in Munich. And so you go to the next slide. You can see there how a couple of these banners, the one on the left is from Norway, and the one on the right is from the Netherlands. And so we have these Rhema Bible training centers, Bible training colleges, some call them. We have those in all these different campuses. They're basically the same thing that's running in different nations. It's all the same curriculum, the same kind of material that Pastor Bob and I went through when we were at Rhema USA. And so now this same thing is happening all over Europe. And like it says up on the top there, so far I've done 20 classes this year in 10 different schools and 5 different nations. I have the 6 different schools in Germany that I went to, Berlin, Coburg, Cologne, Hamburg, Munich, and Ulm. And actually in the school in Coburg, and that's not too far where Pastor Sibylle comes from, and I met a couple of people that heard her speaking at the church there last year in Schweinfurt. It was Schweinfurt, wasn't it? Yeah. So that was pretty cool. I said, yeah, do you know somebody named Sibylle Trombe? Oh, yeah, I remember her. Oh, yeah. I said, hey, I know them. It was so cool. So anyways, I went to these different schools, and then also there, you see underneath that Bergen, Norway, and then Londonderry, like I mentioned, Northern Ireland. And the next one, trust me, and this is Nieuwegein, the Netherlands, and then Zurich, Switzerland. I've been at all those different schools so far. And the thing is, with you helping to support me right now across Europe, every month, and our classes run one time a month. Friday, we have 4 hours of school, and then Saturday, we have 8 hours, so we have a 12-hour for each course. And right now, there's over 600 people going to Bible school every weekend or every month in Europe somewhere. And so you're helping me. I live in Germany, but you're helping me with all the places that I go, and then I'm also connected with all these things all over Europe. So you're not just supporting somebody in Germany. You're helping to support somebody who's reaching all over Europe, all these different nations, all these different people groups. So that's a pretty good investment. Yeah. A lot of times you support somebody or you're involved in some kind of mission work, and it's one place, usually one thing, maybe a church or some kind of an outreach. Well, with me, you're getting more bang for the buck because you're supporting a lot of stuff that's going on over there. Now, in the next picture, it shows me in some of the churches I was teaching in. So far, when I put this together at least, I'd been to eight services in 9 churches. How did I do that? I skipped one, I guess. Should be 9 and 8 churches, I guess. Anyway, whatever. I was at some churches. On the upper left is one of the churches I went to in Norway. On the upper right was me and a guy named Marcus Rex. He's in Germany, right on the border with Poland. And I preached at his church on Sunday morning. Sunday night, we had dinner in Poland. That was pretty cool. Drove across the river, and there we were. On the bottom right is me speaking at our church there in Germany. And then on the bottom left is me and Pastor Joseph. And he is from what we would call a gypsy church. Him and a couple of people from his church are about to graduate from our Bible school. They went through the first round of classes in the city of Cologne. They're about roughly an hour away from there to the west. They went through these classes. They went into the advanced training. They're about to graduate. Now the next round of classes have started in Cologne. These people, I mean, they are hungry. People from his church are going to school there now. So I went there last month, and these people, I mean, they are hungry for God. These people are excited, talking about how the Word of God has changed their life, how the message they've heard from Rhema has made such a difference in their church and in them personally, and it's just great to see. You know, these people were so excited when I came there. He was saying, Jim, you've got to come and speak at my church. You've got to come. He said, you know, call me whenever. Whenever you can come, you've got to speak in my church, and then he wants to do like we did here. He wants to do some seminar-type thing in his church as well because he realizes the value of the Word. We talked about that yesterday, how it all comes back to the Word, and what we need is the Word to make the change in our lives, and I'll be talking about some of that this morning. The next slide, real quick, is just I do a blog every week. If you're curious about what I might be having to say, you can read my little teaching blog. It's not that long. I do one of them every week. There's about 300 of them on there, so if you really want to do some reading, go ahead and hit it. The next slide. On the left shows a picture of me and the people I work with in our office over there. And on the upper right is a picture of me in my office. You see a shelf of like different books and stuff. One of the things I do in our office there is I keep track of all the books for the schools that we oversee. So I have a lot of stuff to do with that. Just that by itself takes like a whole day every week. And different things. And on the bottom picture there is a picture of just different people, the different directors of the Bible schools all over Europe. So it's a really great thing because it's not just like one person out there doing something on their own. There's a big network that we're connected with that we're working to teach all the people, train people, and also maintain connections with people as they start churches, as they're involved in different things. I mentioned this guy, Pastor Joseph, and I was talking to him, said, you know, whenever you have something going on in your church, you've got questions, you've got something you're dealing with, I said, you come, you know, you talk to us, you let us know, we're here to help you and support you. So it's not just the thing about teaching in schools and churches, which is the main emphasis of my ministry, but also we're there helping to support the churches and the alumni and people that have been through our school and other Rhema graduates that are all over in Europe. And so on the last slide, I say a big thank you because you helped to make it happen. And I was just thinking about this as I was putting this thing together the other day, that really all the people like you that are helping to support me, we're changing Germany and we're changing Europe. I mean, we're literally changing that nation and that continent. It's amazing to see what God is doing when people give him the opportunity to do something in their lives. And again, you see some things on the news, and a lot of people hear about the different refugees and stuff that are coming through there, and there is a lot of different refugees and people coming through. But whatever need people may have, whatever's going on in their life, God has an answer for it. We've got questions, God's got an answer. We've got a problem, God's got a solution. And so I want to thank you very much. You're helping to support me. And if you're curious about what I'm doing, I have a newsletter that I do every month. And in the back there by the sound booth, I have my brochures if you want to take a look at one of them with my lovely picture on the front, of course. Wouldn't put Pastor Bob on there. It wouldn't make any sense. But anyways, if you're curious about that, part of what I believe God wants me to do is help people have a better awareness of what God's doing around the world, particularly in Europe. Most people don't think of Europe as a mission field. The thing is, it's being kind about it. There's less than 10% of the people in Europe that are born again. I mean, it's less than that, but I'm trying to be nice. And of those people that are born again, most of them don't know much about the word. When I was up in Norway twice, great people. Some of my family background is Norwegian. Most of it is German, but a little bit of it is Norwegian. And just wonderful people, just hungry for God. But talking to these people, teaching in the school, you can tell most of them don't know anything. They don't have a lot of depth in the word. They're not very developed spiritually because they've never had very good teaching. A lot of the people in Europe are coming out of state churches or some other kind of thing, and there's a real lack of teaching in the word there, and that's what God has called me to do. Different people have different ministries. We're all part of the body of Christ. My ministry, the emphasis that God has given me is to teach. I'm not the kind of guy who's, you know, flowing in the gifts and, you know, laying hands on everybody in miracles and everybody's doing cartwheels and stuff. Now, as God leads, I would do that, but I'm primarily the person that's helping to equip others so they can take the message and run with it themselves and do the things that God has called them to do. I mentioned that yesterday, that God has a gift and a calling for each one of us, and we've got to discover what that is. So if you're curious about what I'm doing, you know, your church is supporting me. So if you're helping this church, you're supporting me. But if you want to get involved individually, you can do that. Or as I said, if you want to just get my newsletters, that's fine as well. I have no charge for it. I'll send it to you for free or email it for free. 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 Everybody likes free. My blog is free. You can look at it for free. Anyway, so you can take the little card and sign up with that or take the brochure or whatever the case may be. Anyhow, but I am glad to be here. And you know where we were worshiping this morning, and that was really good. But just, you know, I'm just so thankful for what God's done in my life. I've been born again for 35 years now, and I'm really excited about the life that I have with God and what he's done in me. But I'm so thankful that he's called me to do this. It's a real privilege and a real honor for me. I said something about this yesterday, how talking about, as Pastor Bob mentioned, that God wants us to have an abundant life. Jesus said that in John chapter 10, verse 10. And so much of the time, we're living below the standard that God has for us. And this morning, just as we were worshiping, God was talking to me about something for your church, for your pastors, but for all of you. And I was reminded about when I was here a couple of years ago, when you were just putting all this stuff together, and I even got to help with some of that. That was pretty cool. One day, you know, Don and Bob and I, we were putting up some stuff, so I was really excited to be part of that. But you know that there really is, this is what God was talking to me about for all of you, there's just so much more. there's a lot more than you've seen before. There's a lot of things that God wants for you, and he wants to do through this church, and he wants to do in your life personally. For some of you here, it's like you're just kind of wading in the water. You're just like up to your ankles, and you kind of think, well, you know, this is all right, but it's not doing much for me. Well, that's just because you're in the water up to your ankles. You need to really get in. My grandparents used to live by what we would call a bay, you know, part of Lake Michigan, and we would go swimming there, but you didn't really get the whole experience until you really got in the water. And that's for a lot of people here today, that you're just in the shallow waters, and God's calling you to something bigger and better. There's a lot more for you. There's so much more than what you're experiencing right now. He wants to do more in your church than he's ever done before, than you've seen before. He wants to do more for and through your pastors than he's ever done before. But I really just want to encourage you by the Holy Spirit that there's a lot more for you than you realize and that you're experiencing right now. I'm sad it took me 21 years to figure that out. You know, I went through a lot of stuff. I was doing the old hit or miss method, just trying all this stuff to see what made me happy, and none of it really satisfied me or made me happy until I got connected to God. But it wasn't just that initial salvation experience that did it for me. It was beginning to walk with God, getting to know him and his word and his way in my life. And that's something that all of us have to do. But I just want to encourage you that there's so much more for you. I mean, there's more for you than you think there is. There's more he wants to do through you than you know right now. When I got born again, when I was 20 years old, I was half nuts. I mean, I was like a crazy person just about. And when I got born again, I was thankful that he just let me in. I was thankful that one day I could go to heaven. And I thought maybe one day if I'm lucky and the wind blows the right direction, they'll let me help and be an usher. That was the extent of my vision for God's plan in my life. Well, he started talking to me about some things, and I started to get involved in different areas. And, you know, then I started getting this stirring about going to Bible school. Well, I guess I could do that. And I knew he wanted to use me in some form of ministry. So I went into Bible school with that in mind, went back to the church, as Pastor Bob shared. And God started stirring me up about some other things, which I didn't understand. He sent me back to Oklahoma. I got to know John and Michelle Grunewald, and they're Americans, and they oversee all the work that's going on, the Rhema work that's going on in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. And I'm connected to all that different stuff. So really, you're helping me in those three areas of the world. Your investment is going a pretty long way. And you'll be glad to know that none of your money is going for my hair care products, all right? So no polish for the head or anything, all right? You're like, what? Yeah, okay, settle down. Anyway, but, you know, it was just amazing that when God did send me back to Oklahoma, and there was some more things he was stirring up in my heart, and it was really something to see how God kept telling me, okay, I want this, and this is the next thing, and this is the next thing. And God is always going to want to stretch us beyond where we are in our little comfort zone to do more for him and have a greater experience with him than we've ever had before. It is really sad how many Christians live these shallow little lives where God is just a little piece of what's going on in their whole existence, and there's so much more. You know, years ago when I had the understanding that I should go to Germany. And then God started talking to me not just about Germany and teaching the word, and I knew that was something. I didn't have any idea how that would work because at the time there were no Rhema schools in Germany or Europe. There was nothing like that. But I had this in my heart to go teach people, to go help people understand who God is and what his word's all about. And I wasn't sure how that was supposed to happen. And then as I was praying about that one day, and I still remember, I was standing there looking at this map of Europe that was on the wall, and it was as though the whole map started to open up, and God started talking to me about going all over Europe. And I'm like, okay, wait a second, God. I haven't even got to Germany yet, and now you're talking to me about going all over Europe? And I'm like, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm Mr. Jim from Wisconsin. I used to live in a place called Beaver. You know, like, what was it, Oregon State? You know, I lived in Beaver for a while. Nobody even knows where Beaver is. Most people in Europe have never even heard of Wisconsin. And I said, God, how am I supposed to do this stuff? How am I supposed to fulfill your will and follow your plan in my life? I'm nobody special. And that's the good thing, that God is not looking at how special we are. It doesn't matter who we are naturally. It doesn't matter what path we've traveled to get here. It matters that we serve a great God. with whom all things are possible, right? That he's given us the greater one on the inside to do all those great things. So my encouragement again is just there's so much more. There's so much more than you've seen before. And it's just developing. The main thing is developing our relationship with him. That's the main thing we need to do. And I got a few things that I want to share with you today. I'm a Bible school teacher. I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. So if it was up to me, we'd be looking at Bible verses all day long. But it's not. Because we can't stay here all day because we have to go have lunch. That's important. People are thinking, yeah, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, no. But turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll tell you a little story. It was about 2 months ago. I had just moved into a new apartment, and I was trying to get everything caught up. And, you know, Pastor Bob was talking about how God blesses you and things like that. And over there in Germany, what you do when you're going to change apartments is that you have to give your landlord a three-month notice and say, you know, that's typical, and most contracts will say that you have to give a three-month notice before you move. And what a lot of people will do is they'll find their new apartment where they're going to go, and then they tell their landlord, you know, look, I need to move out in 3 months. And sometimes they have to pay double rent, or sometimes they have to find what they call a knock meter, you know, somebody who's going to take over for you, take over the contract and stuff like that. And I knew what God had been talking to me about. We've got his written word, right? We've got the word of God, but we've also got the spirit of God. And we need to get to know both. We need to become very familiar with the word and very familiar with the spirit, because there is so much more than God has done in our lives already. So in April of this year, right about the time I took my first trip to Norway, I gave my landlord the written notice and said, I'm moving in 3 months. So I started talking to people in our office and in the church just to let them know and find some help, because I'm not Superman and I couldn't move a sofa on my own. So I needed to get some help for some of this stuff. And I was talking to people and I said, I'm going to move in July. And people kept asking me, well, where's your new apartment? And I said, somewhere. And people looked at me shocked, because that is not the way you do it over there. They'd say, where's your apartment? I say, I don't have it yet. And they're like, what? What do you mean you don't have it yet? I said, well, God will take care of it. I said, I don't understand how I could find a place to rent and then say, okay, but hang on to it for 3 months. Well, that doesn't even make any sense. But I knew it was time, and I knew that God would take care of me. So April went by. Most of May went by. And then I found this little place. I thought, well, that might be okay. And to make a longer story short, everything worked out, and I'm in a very nice place now. It was what I was looking for, and I'm even paying less rent. It's a little smaller, but I'm paying less rent, which is what I want. And I could see the hand of God in that. We talk about prosperity, and we think about money falling out of the sky, or maybe getting a raise at our job or something like that, or whatever. But we sometimes neglect to realize that God will prosper us and help us through a lot of different things. Getting special deals or having favor. And I've had person after person now tell me that they said the way you got into your apartment and how you did it, which is totally different than normal, they said it was really inspiring for them. Because they said you took that step of faith when you didn't see anything, which is what faith is. We think faith means instant manifestation. But that's not faith. Faith is taking a stand on what God has said in his word and moving forward with that, even when you don't see anything, even when you don't feel anything, even when all the circumstances are going the opposite direction. But how do we do those things? By getting to know God through his word and by the Spirit. And about the time I was moving into this apartment, or after I had, I should say, that's when I was emailing with Pastor Bob, you know, that I was going to come here. And, you know, I said, you know, in the fall, I usually take a trip to the States and I'm going to be here. So we had been emailing about all this stuff and setting everything up. And then when I got to the States, we talked on the phone, sent a few texts and things like that. So I'm flying into the airport on Friday. And we got it set up. I got to get my bag. I'm going to come out. He says, well, come and look for me out here. So I came out. You know, we'd been texting. We had, you know, talked on the phone. We did email. And I come out of the airport there. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, well, he's probably over here. So I started taking a walk, and it was packed. You know, Friday night, they had several flights coming in, I guess. I don't know how busy the airport normally is. I go through a lot of airports. And I'm walking along going this direction, and I hear, Jim. And I stop. It's like, that's Bob. I didn't see him. I didn't know where he was. There's all these other people and all this activity going on, but I knew that was Bob. I knew he would call my name. I'm looking around. I didn't even see him. And then finally, there he was. I'm like, ah, there's Bob. Now, how did that happen? it started out with this correspondence through email, through text, on the phone. But then I had to hear his voice to finally make that connection with him. And see, this is the thing for all of us. I believe, this is my personal observation and opinion, that most of us devalue the Word of God and its place in our lives. This is not just some written guidebook. This is not just a different philosophy that we adhere to, different than what other people believe. Well, the Christians have the Bible, you know, and the Muslims have the Quran, you know, and these guys have this, and these guys have this, and, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses have the Watchtower. No, this isn't like a competing philosophy. This is the living Word of God. People want to hear God speak to them, and they never open their Bible. People have questions and problems in their lives, and they're saying, well, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And they run around talking to people when they should be opening their Bible. You know, I have known Bob now for about 29 years. And we were talking last night about how, you know, the relationship has developed and we've become really good friends and all these things. At least I think so. He'll tell you something next week. Say, that loser. No. Let me tell you about Jim. No. But over the years, this relationship we've developed, and, you know, we'll email and stuff once in a while, but it was because I knew him, and even in the midst of this situation, when I was in this crowd, and all this stuff was going on, and it was a long trip, and I'd been tired and all this stuff, but I heard this voice, Jim, Jim, and I knew it was him. I knew it was him. I didn't have to stop and say, now, is that really Bob? Maybe it's somebody trying to pretend they're Bob. You know, is that me? Is that Bob? Is it the devil? Who is that? I didn't have that question because I know Bob. Because we'd already laid some parameters out. We'd already talked about some things through the email and everything. And then when I heard his voice, I knew exactly what I needed to do. But here's our problem. We don't know the Word of God and we don't know the Spirit of God. We don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he's trying to help us. He's working to do something for us, but we're having trouble because we don't know. Now here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and there's a lot of things we can look at, but there's some other verses I want to get to today, and we need to be here out of here by like 3 o'clock, I heard. Is that true? 3, 4, or in the morning? It'd be a revolt halfway through. Throw him out. Storm the Bastille. No. Anyways, 2 Peter 3, let's just look at verse 16. This is Peter talking about what Paul has written. And in verse 16, Peter says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Now, I was reading over this one day, and I thought, you know, this is the problem with a lot of people. There are too many believers, too many people that would call themselves Christians or disciples or followers of Jesus or whatever title you like, but they're very untaught and they're unstable. And I thought about that. I thought, yeah, that's true. If you're not stable, that means you haven't been taught. Because if you are taught, you will be stable, right? And too many people have not been taught well, and so they're not stable in their lives. But this leads to a bigger problem because we don't know the Word, we're not taught in the Word, and we have an unstable Christian life. We've never developed the relationship with the Spirit of God that we should. Peter also said that holy men of old, I don't have the reference in front of me, but he says how people were guided by the Holy Spirit to write these words. We want to get to know the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to go beyond. We need to know what the Word says, first of all. This is the first step. We should know this backwards, forwards, upside down, stand on our head and quote it, whatever. We should know this Word. This will change and save our lives. It will. And you can't wait till you need it to use it. Right? Open it. You better have that parachute prepared when you jump out of the plane, or you're going to shrink very much when you hit the ground. You know, very compacted. The first thing we need is be taught through the Word. The first thing we need is to get to know God and His Word and learn to hear Him speaking to us through the Word. We talked yesterday about having a victorious Christian life and what God wants for us. He's already provided all these things. Jesus came and died on the cross about 2,000 years ago to open the way for us, to defeat sin, give us authority over the devil, and we've got the Word of God to explain all of this to us, and we leave it sitting on the shelf sometimes. We pick it up once a week, maybe. this will change and save our lives. It's just true. You spend time reading the Word, you're spending time with God. You spend time listening to what He says here, it'll change your life. David said in Psalm 119, he said, how can a young man keep his way clean and pure before God? He said, by taking heed to the Word of God. We start with the written Word of God, and you can turn over to Colossians chapter 3. That's the next verses we're going to look at. But we start with the written Word of God, but then we need to follow the leading of the Spirit of God in our lives. How is He going to do that? We're going to hear voices out of the sky. We're going to see clouds all form different words, and we'll know what to do. No, most of the time, He's going to confirm it by this peace in our heart, or He's going to be speaking to us about what the Word says. I'm amazed how many times the Holy Spirit will give me direction just through the Word. It's amazing to me. Now, as Pastor Bob mentioned and I shared, after I went through Bible school and graduated, I went back to my home church. You know how I knew I should go back to my home church? Do you know how God directed me? Well, let me tell you, since you don't know. Unless I told you before, I don't remember. If I did, listen again and be happy. But I was reading, I had a few opportunities after Bible school, things I could do. And I was at home in my apartment in Fox Run. They need to put up a couple plaques for us there, you know, the famous people who lived here kind of thing, you know. That'd be cool. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But anyhow, so I was there reading the Bible one day. I'm reading in the Old Testament, I believe it was in 1 Samuel. I'm reading about King Saul. King Saul. My name is not Saul, not even my middle name. And I'm reading in the Bible, and Samuel says to Saul, he says, you're going to go over here and meet these sons of the prophets. You're going to prophesy. He said, you'll be changed into another man. And when you are, start doing what your hand finds to do. And I read that. I read that story, and the Holy Spirit said, go to Wisconsin. Because I'd come to Rhema, my life had been changed, and I had this opportunity in my hand to do something, and I knew from God, because of that story, I was supposed to go to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is not in the Bible, in case you didn't know. Now, my legal name is James, but even the book of James doesn't give me information about what to do. I start with the Word of God. I fill myself with that, and then the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to give me further direction. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, there's a great parallel we see here. The books, or letters, you could say, of Colossians and Ephesians, people call them the twin epistles, the twin letters, because they're very similar. Ephesians talks about the body of Christ, and Colossians talks about Jesus is the head of the body. They fit together very well. You see several parallels there, and there's a very interesting one I'm going to share with you today. You read through, like, Colossians chapter 3, and Colossians chapter 3 will tell us some different things. Let me get my little reference here. Colossians chapter 3 will tell us the different things that because we're a new creation, we're a new man, we need to put off or stop doing these different things. We need to live a certain kind of life. God has called us not just to be saved and one day go to heaven, but to do some things on the earth here for Him. Part of that is, I don't want to say this, but part of that is going to be influenced by what kind of life we have. You know, I used to have this little thing, like a little bumper sticker kind of thing, and I realized finally it was kind of mean, so I got rid of it. But as they say, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you live with the turkeys. I talked about that yesterday too. The relationships we have are going to have an effect on us, and the relationships we have will influence our lifestyle, and our lifestyle is going to influence what we do for God. I mean, you're living like a dog, you're not going to do much for God. Christian world, and thought, well, because I did it. There was a time when I lived in this shallow little Christian world, and thought, well, you know, one day I'll get to heaven and, you know, whatever, I'll just struggle down here. God has so much more than that. He tells us throughout the Bible that there are some things we should be doing and some things we shouldn't be doing. But here's the good news. God doesn't throw us out into the water and say, figure out how to swim on your own. He gives us everything we need to do what He's called us to do. That's the awesome part of it. Now, we look here in Colossians chapter 3, where He talks about some of these things you should be and shouldn't be doing. Then in verse 15, He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now He's talking about really the Holy Spirit. Because how are we going to have peace in our heart? We're going to have peace in our heart when the things that we're doing and what we're following and how we're living is in agreement with God. We talked yesterday about Romans 8, chapter 16, where it says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. And all that means is that there's an agreement between our spirit and the Holy Spirit. When there's an agreement with our spirit and the Holy Spirit, there's peace. And he says here, let the peace of God rule in your heart. If Pastor Bob and I were doing something and we don't agree, there's no peace. If we agree, then there's peace between us. So all he's saying here is let that peace of God rule in your heart. When you sense that there's not peace, it means you're getting away from what God wants you to do. So he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And then he goes on and gives us a little more info. Verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Right in the middle of all this stuff, he says, you need to let God's word dwell in you richly. You need to have the word living in you. We need to live in the word. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. There is no John 8, 30, 81. But we need to live in the word, and we need to let the word live in us, because it will give us direction and correction. It will show us what to do and empower us and help us to do those things that we need to do. Now, you notice here he's talking about let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's letting the Spirit of God direct you, really, is what he's talking about. Then he goes on and says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. All these things are going to happen, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And then he talks about giving thanks and submission, right? You see that? Anybody but Pastor Bob see that? Okay, yeah. Well, go over to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to see something very similar. Ephesians chapter 5 starts out with the fact that we need to be imitators of God. Like a child imitates their parents, we need to imitate God. And then he goes on also in Ephesians 5 to talk about some things you should or shouldn't be doing. A lot of people, they don't like the rules and regulations, and that's because they're undisciplined and they have some issues. But if we will follow the guidelines that God gives us, he's not going to take all the fun out of our life, but he's going to make our life a lot richer and better than it ever was before. Before I was a Christian, I used to party hardy, as we used to say. I mean, yeah, I could tell you some stories, but I won't. I started hearing about this abundant life, and I thought, is it possible? Could God actually change me and give me a better life than I've ever had? And I didn't really think it was possible at first. But when I finally realized it was possible, I thought, how can I change all this? How can I be a different person? How can I be the person God wants me to be? I've got all these problems. I got all these issues in my life. How am I supposed to do this? Well, that's the good news. It's not up to me. It's not up to us. If we let God's word dwell in us, some things are going to happen. It'll make a change in us. We're a new creation in Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're the righteousness of God, it says in verse 21 there. But that's talking about the inner man, the real us, the spirit man in us. We become a new creation. Well, then we've still got our body to deal with. We've got our emotions and our thoughts to deal with. And the word of God will help to get all these things in line. He shows us what we ought to be doing, and he gives us the help to do it as well. This is the great thing. I didn't have to go through a bunch of counseling and rehab and all this stuff, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But I had a lot of problems. But it wasn't some external thing that made the change in my life. It was an internal thing. It was filling myself with the Word of God that changed me and helped me to become another person, helped me to live as a new creation in Christ. Now, we saw this stuff in Colossians 3. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to see something very similar here. He starts out in verse 17 after he's given some instruction. Verse 17, he says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So just like he started in Colossians, he says, here's what you do. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Here he starts out and says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3, he says, be filled with the Word. Here he says, be filled with the Spirit. Well, what's going to happen if we're filled with the Spirit? Then he goes on to verse 19. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. He goes through the same things. Filled with the word in Colossians 3, the results are going to be psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks and submission. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks. You know, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks and then submission. It's the same thing. If you get filled with the word of God, you're going to get filled with the Spirit of God. And if you get filled with the word of God, you're going to learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. You're going to get to know his voice speaking to you, giving you wisdom and direction. As we were doing Bible school yesterday, and I'd already talked to the Lord, said, okay, I'm doing this today, and then I'm going to do church on Sunday. What do you want me to talk about? The Bible's a pretty big book. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff I could talk about. I've got all kinds of messages. I've been doing this licensed and ordained teaching, preaching all this for over 20 years. But really, I've been getting up and speaking like this for 30-some years. What do you want me to say? I could just pick out a verse from the Bible and start talking and not shut up for a while. But is that what God wants you to hear? Is this what he needs to say to you? So just yesterday, as I was sharing some things, just this thing clicked inside me, this untaught, unstable. And I knew that was in 2 Peter 3. And I knew that was part of it. So last night, I was looking at it a little bit. Today, as I got up and I'm reading the Bible and doing some things, and God started showing me these connections. It wasn't just through some intellectual thing as I'm reading all this stuff and I remembered, oh yeah, that one says that, that one says that. No, but on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit was giving me some direction. He was saying, look at this and look at this. Look at how the word will give you direction on the way you should live, what you should and shouldn't do. And then look here in Ephesians 5, how the Holy Spirit will do the exact same thing for you. As we get to know the word of God, we get to know the Spirit of God, and we can hear his direction in every area of our lives. Yeah, I got a lot of stories. I always got stories. You know, I was telling one last night. I was on an airplane flying up to Norway to teach in Bible school. And we flew from Frankfurt to Copenhagen and then Copenhagen to Bergen. And so we're in the plane in Copenhagen. I think this was my second trip in June. And I'm flying up there. And I see one of the cabin crew walk. We're at the point where you're waiting to take off. You know, you're kind of in the line and you're waiting to take off. And I saw one of these cabin crew guys walk really fast past me. And I thought, now that's not normal. I thought something's going on my side of the plane. And he's like, then another one went by pretty quick. So I look behind me, and there's a guy sitting on my side of the plane. And he's like this. He's like, and he looks like he's in some serious pain. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that's not good. That was not the Holy Spirit. That was just me thinking, that's not good. He looks like something's wrong. And that's the thing. We can notice stuff naturally. We can recognize some things on our own, but we don't just act on what we know or what we think or how it looks to us. Because I'm thinking, here I am, Mr. Preacher, going to teach in a Bible school. Am I going to have a guy die on the airplane with me? What a great story that would be. How was your trip, Jim? Yeah, great. One guy died on the airplane. That was really cool. No. So I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? I'm thinking, what should I do in this situation? So I'm checking on the inside because I spent time with the Word. I spent time talking to God. I get to know the Spirit of God each and every day. I spend time with him through the Word and in prayer, things like that. And I'm checking on the inside. What should I be doing? And he's not telling me anything. And I'm like, hello, in case you haven't noticed, I think there's a guy dying behind me. What am I supposed to do? And he's not telling me anything. And because he's not telling me anything, I'm not going to do anything. Oh, yeah, but you ought to get up and, you know, lay hands on the sick and cast out the demons and take authority. Yeah, I could. But is that what God wants me to do? That's some things, direction I see through the Word. But in that particular situation, what does the Holy Spirit want me to do? And I'm sitting there listening, and in my head, the devil's going, he's going to die, he's going to die, he's going to die. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? And so I just said, well, I know the word says God wants us to walk in health. He wants us to have a great, long life. So I prayed, Lord, I believe you're giving this guy health and strength. Well, then we get back to the gate. They said, we've got this medical situation. We get back to the gate, and the paramedics come on, and the stretcher comes on, and I'm waiting for this guy to be dragged out through the aisle. You know, he's like, ah. That's what I'm expecting. Well, then after a few minutes, the paramedics walk off, and the stretcher, they take that with them. And then the guy gets up and he walks out on his own. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of weird. You know, here a minute ago, he looks like he's going to die. You know, now he gets up and walks off. And he didn't come back, so something was wrong. But here's the thing. Naturally, it looked like a bad thing. Naturally, I wanted to do some things that I knew and I understood. But I had to listen to the direction of the Holy Spirit. We make mistakes a lot of times, not just in some situation like that or in ministry situations, but in our family, on our job, in our everyday life. We make mistakes because we walk by what we know in our head. Now, I teach this class on the Holy Spirit, and part of that is about being led by the Holy Spirit. And this is something I've picked up a lot lately, that people seem to think because I'm in ministry, I'm a full-time teacher, preacher guy, that somehow I have a different Holy Spirit, or somehow it works different in my life. So I've gone back to giving some more normal examples that things everybody runs into. I remember this job I had in Tulsa, Oklahoma, before I moved to Germany. I worked in a factory. I started going to university after high school and had more parties and classes and dropped out, and that wasn't good. So I had no background training in anything, so I just had to get a lot of jobs where I worked very hard. So I got a job at this place, just started out doing nothing. They promoted me. I became a supervisor. Well, then they started asking me to do things I was not qualified for and I didn't understand. And naturally, that bothered me. I don't like stuff like that. I like everything to be prepared like 2 months ahead of time and every little detail written out. That's me. But that's not how God does things. That's what we'd like in our mind. That's what we'd like in our flesh to make us happy. But is that what God wants to do? And there were times I had to do stuff with machinery, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit would say, do this thing, change that thing, check this thing over here. And over again, he would help me in my everyday life. Over and over. I mean, this is stuff for me. This is very ordinary. It happens all the time. Now, it's not like I'm hearing voices. I mean, that's weird. You don't hear voices, all right? Unless it's Pastor Bob at the airport. Jim. I hear a voice. Yeah, that's okay. But we get these weird ideas. God is trying to work in our life, starting with the foundation of the Word of God. He's trying to work in our life to help us to develop and grow and work and change us to who we need to be, who he wants us to be, so he can really start to use us. He wants us to start with the foundation of the Word, and as we get to know the Word, we get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit in our own life. Because there's a lot of things like, how do you deal with your family? How do you deal with your husband or wife? How do you deal with your kids? How do you do stuff on your job? How do you do stuff every day of your life? How do you get special deals? How do you work things out? The Holy Spirit will give us the direction that we need, but we've got to get to know him and who he is. But too many times we're untaught and we're unstable, not just in the Word, but also in the ways of the Holy Spirit, because we have no clue who he is. We have no connection with him. And it's time for believers to take a step up in the things of God and start walking the way he's called us to walk and live the supernatural kind of life he's called us to live. That doesn't mean you're going to see people jumping out of wheelchairs every day. Maybe it will. But how about the supernatural God working in your life where he gives you direction beyond your understanding? He shows you what to do and helps you in ways that you would have never figured out on your own. There's a good story in the book of Acts with Paul, and he was on this journey where they were taking him to Rome, put him in prison. And he said to the people in the ship, he said, I perceive, I can tell spiritually that this voyage is going to be bad, that this is a bad idea. He said, I perceive. He was talking about, he recognized it by the Holy Spirit. Well, the professionals, the people who ran the ship said, no, he's wrong. We need to do this. The professionals considered all the situation, the natural circumstances, all the variables, and they said it's okay. Paul said, no, no, no. No. On the inside, by the Spirit of God, this is not a good idea. And we've all had this. You ever been in a situation where you go through something and you think, you know, I kind of had this feeling I shouldn't have done that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit trying to talk to you, but we're so dull spiritually, and I said we, not you, we, we're so often so dull spiritually, he's trying to do something and help us, and we're not even listening. And there's so many, I think of different examples, not all of them I want to share, but there's different things where he's talked to me, he said, do this, check this, go over here, look at that thing. My flight here to the States. Normally I fly Frankfurt to Chicago, and I'm not far from Chicago where I came from. And so I'm checking that, and the prices are like $1,100, $1,200. Well, I'd rather not spend $1,100 or $1,200 on a flight to the U.S. and back. So I'm looking around, and just on the inside, check Dusseldorf. Now, there used to be a United Airlines flight from Dusseldorf to Frankfurt, but they canceled that route. I called the airline and talked to them, and they said, it's gone. We don't have it anymore. But something on the inside was like, check Dusseldorf, which is from where I live now, that's about an hour and 20 minutes north of me. Frankfurt right now is not quite, that's about the same distance to the south of me, but Frankfurt's a bigger airport. So I just checked Dusseldorf to Chicago. I bought a round-trip ticket, not for $1,200 like it would have been through Frankfurt, but I bought it for $530. But that's not just coming out of my head. If you live by what's in your head or just following what you think are a bunch of rules in the Bible, you'll have a wimpy life. You will never do the things that God wants you to do. You will never succeed the way you ought to if you just try and do it all intellectually. And so many Christians, they're living this intellectual, emotional life instead of a life grounded in the Word, following the Holy Spirit. He wants to help us because he's called us to live an abundant, superior life. Yeah. There are so many people that he wants to reach out and touch us through, or this church. He wants to touch a lot of people. He wants to make a difference in this city, this state, and this nation through this church. Amen. Talking about live streaming, I think that's a great idea. You know, I listen to the podcast from this church, and I like it, you know. There's something that God has here that he wants to use to help other people. How is that going to happen? It's the same thing that Mary said to Gabriel when Gabriel came down and says, you're going to have a baby. She's like, doesn't work that way. You know, I've never had sexual relations with somebody. How is that supposed to happen? And he said, by the Spirit of God. How are the things going to happen in our life that we need to happen, that we desire to happen, the changes we want to see personally, in our families, in our circumstances? How is this going to happen? Oh, I just wish someday. No. I was going to say something I shouldn't say. No. But we need to get up and start moving. I was going to say something else. But we need to get up and start moving and start doing something. Too many times we're hoping and wishing when we should be taking a stand and a step of faith. We need to find out what the Word says and take a stand on that and walk forward in the Word no matter what we see or feel and start following the Holy Spirit and start living that supernatural life he's called us to live.
Good, good. Hallelujah.
And I'm a human being like everybody. You might not think so because I'm so good looking. But it's true. Everybody's like, what's wrong with this guy? Yeah. We're still trying to figure it out. But, you know, I look at the things that God has done in my life and how he's changed me and what he's done in me and the level he's taken me to in my relationship with him. It's not because I've got some kind of special calling in my life. This is something he wants to do for everybody. Every one of us are a part of the body. And Ephesians chapter 4:16 says every part of the body is supposed to give something. We talked about that yesterday. Every part of the body has something to give because every one of us has a gift from God. We've got to find out what is that gift. Oh, I wish I knew. Well, how are you going to find out? Sitting there looking like a genius or reading the Word and following the Holy Spirit? Putting some quality time in with God. You know, we talk about we were in Bible school together. We'd see each other, you know, in the apartment complex or whatever, and over the years we talk and spend time together. How do you develop a relationship? By doing exactly that. Spending time with someone, getting to know the other person. Right?
Yes.
We do that through the Word. And as we do that through the Word, the Holy Spirit's going to be able to talk to us and give us some direction in things. Yeah, I think of a lot of examples. I'm more conscious now than I used to be about everything's recorded, so you don't just say everything. But like I was sharing another example from a Bible school that I won't share, but something else that happened in the Bible school. What are you going to do? I was preaching at the church I used to work in one time, and a guy came walking in and says, hey, I want to talk to you. And he came running up to the front. And the ushers are like, stop him. But I checked on the inside. You know, the Bible says let everything be done decently and in order, which means people don't come running to the front when the preacher's talking, right? But what does the Holy Spirit have to say? We had a guy in our church, and this guy, he had some issues. And he just wanted to come up and ask some questions in the middle of the service. And I talked to him. I checked on the inside. I just talked, said, you know, sit down, we'll talk later. And he was okay. Some of the other people got a little nervous. I wasn't nervous because I was listening. I'm always listening. I remember we had a guy in our church in Germany one time, and we meet in a public facility, don't have our own building. And this guy came in, and right away I looked at him. I thought, something's not right with this guy. And at the time, I was a head usher in the church. And so I'm looking at this guy. Well, they had an altar call at the end, and the guest minister, they were going to lay hands on people. And this guy comes up, and he comes up there, and they're going to lay hands on him. And he starts yelling about, you can't knock me down. I don't have to do that. And he starts causing this big ruckus. Well, here are a couple of ushers seat, and they're like, oh! And they start running to the front, and they're going to attack this guy. You know, they're going to knock him down and roll around, and I don't know what they were thinking exactly. But the whole time, right from when I saw this guy, I started listening. What about this guy? Is he going to be a problem? Is he going to be something we got to deal with? Because we've had people we physically had to throw out of church. We've had some issues. But this guy, I could tell, something's not right with him mentally. I mean, I could just tell this. You look at him. So I'm up there to catch everybody if they're going to fall over, and this guy starts making this big commotion. Here come a couple of ushers, and I knew they're responding by what they see. They're reacting to what they know and how they feel and the situation. And if we do that, we're going to fail every time. Because all they did was get everybody else stirred up and excited. What's going to happen? This guy's yelling. They're running to the front. Hey, I'm afraid. And that's wrong. That's how things get out of control. So I look at these guys running, and I'm like, you know, settle down. And so I talked to this guy. I said, hey, you know, I said, you know, come this way. And said, you know, auf Deutsch. I said, you know, bitte, diese Richtung, bitte. And the guy's like, ah! And he looks at me like he wants to start fighting with me. But I knew what God had said on the inside of me. So I just pushed him from, you know, the back a little bit stronger and said, you know, bitte, diese Richtung. And he's like, okay, so he starts going that way. I knew how to deal with that because what God had said to me. And this is the thing, in this day and age, with everything going on, and since I've been here in the States, I've had several people say, are you afraid in Germany? I see stuff on the news. Are you afraid? No. Number one, it's not so bad like you might see on the news. And number two, have you ever heard of God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? Amen. I'm never afraid. I don't have to be afraid. Because I follow the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has given me all authority in heaven and earth. The one who says I can do all things through Christ. The one who said, as I said about yesterday, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. None of that stuff comes near me. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of people acting crazy. I got on a flight a couple of years ago in Frankfurt, and it was, you know, whatever time of the day, and there was about a dozen of these Muslim guys, and they're all doing their little prayers. And people are looking at him like, and I looked at him, and my natural reaction was, uh-oh. But I checked on the inside. I know what the word says, right? I know that God says he'll protect me, Psalm 91, he'll take care of me. And I listen on the inside. Anything going on here? And it's like, no, they're fine. Saw some of these guys in the flight. They were just nice, normal people, not a bunch of crazy people. But if you only react to the situation and what you see and what you know, you're going to fail every time. We go by the word, but it's not just the word by itself. We have to follow the Holy Spirit. We're so unstable in so many things because we don't know the word and we don't know the Holy Spirit. We have to get taught in the word through churches and the different things we got going on. You know, they had the Bible school yesterday, things like that. You know, different groups you might be involved in. And we've got to get taught through the word that way and on our own as we spend time on a regular basis with the word that we say we actually believe, and we should. We give it lip service a lot of time. Anyway, we need to do that and then get taught in the way of the Holy Spirit. When I first went to Rhema, Brother Hagin kept talking about get to know the way of the Spirit in your life. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? The way of the Spirit. What is that supposed to mean? Every one of us has an individual relationship with God. How does God work with us? How does God deal with us? How is he speaking to us? You know, there's times he gives me pictures of things. There's times he reminds me of verses. There's times he'll talk to me about different things. But that doesn't come overnight when you're born again. You've got to develop that spiritual sensitivity. We're so focused on the outside and the mental and emotional realms that we're insensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to help us and talk to us. But the problem is we're not always listening to him. And for all of us, myself included, for this church, all of you, there is so much more that God wants to do. He is looking for men and women today who are willing to take a stand and say, I'm going to do it. No matter what it might cost me, no matter what time might be involved, no matter what money might be involved. You know, you go live in Europe for 18 years or live here in the States for, I forget how many years you've been here, Sabile. You know, you do that and see what it's like. You think it's the easiest thing you ever did? Well, it's not. I'm not complaining. I love it over there. I can't hardly imagine moving back here. I would if God said. But there's always going to be a price involved. And you think, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay that price. Then you're going to pay another price. You're going to pay another price that you don't want to pay. You're going to pay another price for failing to follow God, and it's going to be a high price, a higher price than you want to pay. It'll always cost you to serve God and follow him. It'll cost you your time. It'll cost you your money. It'll cost you your effort. It'll cost you, you know, leaving off some things that you might have wanted to do otherwise. But God's ways and his will are so far better than anything else we could ever have. But we're not going to get it just sitting on our behind and not ever doing anything. You've got opportunities, the trunk and treat, different things going on, women's conference. You need to get involved in all that stuff. When I got born again, our church used to do these week-long seminars. And I would go every night after work, and people thought I'd lost my mind. I was like, man, I get to hear the Bible again today. I get to go to church again. Yeah. And people were like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what's wrong with me? This is great. And people in our church Sunday morning would be like, you know, we have a guest speaker this week, brother or sister, whoever. And I'd be like, And other people are like, don't you know there's a football game on Monday night? I can't go. Don't you know I have to go fishing or hunting or camping or sleeping or walking or sneezing or whatever? We can think of a million and one excuses, and the devil will help us with a million and two. But what do we want to make our investment in? What kind of life do we want to have? What kind of life and influence do we want to be with other people? What kind of life do we want our children to have and our family to have? It starts with us, getting to know the Word and getting to know the Spirit of God. It's going to be the greatest thing you've ever experienced if you will get connected with God like you ought to be. It starts with the Word, and it starts with the Holy Spirit. And it's really easy. It's really simple. It's really easy. Just get into the Word. Spend time with the Word. Get to know God through his Word, and you'll get to know the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's just some things here that, you know, when I was getting ready for the Bible school yesterday, and thinking about some of that stuff and even some of the things today, just talking to the Lord about it. And there's some things he's wanting some of you to do. There's a step he needs some of you to take. And I could lay hands on you till all the hair fell off your head and you look like me. But that's not going to do it for you. You've got to make that decision and you've got to make that step. Normally I don't pray for people and stuff like that because that's not so much my gift, and I'm not going to do it today either. I'll pray for all of us, but the thing is, you can have anybody pray for you. You can have any kind of experience, but what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do on Tuesday? What are you going to do when the problems come? Run back to somebody and have them lay hands on you? I mean, there is a place for that. Don't get me wrong. That is legitimate. That is good. But we've got to learn to go beyond some of these simple things that we're so used to and always looking at. I need somebody else to help me. I need somebody to pray for me. I need this. No, you need to get connected with God and his Word more than anything, more than you get from anybody else. That is the biggest thing. We need to be taught and stable through the Word and by the Holy Spirit. So my challenge to all of us today is to take that step that God's wanting us to take, because there is so much more for us. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for City Park Church, for the Trombies, for each and every one here. And I thank you for all of us that you have a plan, that you have a purpose, that you have a will for us to fulfill. We thank you, Father, that your Word and your way are the things that we need. The direction of the Holy Spirit is what we have to have in our lives to be successful. And I believe for each one of us that you're helping us to grow. You're helping us to develop. That the questions we have, the problems we might be dealing with, the issues we face in our life, that you are helping us with those things. That we can do all things through him who gives us strength. That you have given us the word to build us up, to strengthen us, to help us to grow. And you've given us the Holy Spirit to give us direction and wisdom and empower us to do those things you've called us to do. I thank you for each and every one. And I pray that whatever need may be represented here today, that you would meet that need in the name of Jesus. That you would help each one, whether it's a physical situation, a question about direction or wisdom in their lives, financial prosperity, whatever it may be, Father, that you meet that need by your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you are working here today in each and every one of our lives, that you are working in this church, that you have better days ahead, that the best is yet to come. We thank you for it, Father, that there is more than we've seen before. We thank you for it, Father, and we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Come on, give Jim a big hand this morning. Woo! If you listened to my message last week, it was so similar about getting back to the Word. You know, Proverbs chapter 4 talks about pay attention to my Word. Pay attention to my Word. And we have got to get back to the Word. We can never get to the place where I know it all, or I've arrived, or I went to Bible school, or I graduated here, or I did this. We have got to have a relationship with the Word every day. Every day, every day, every day. Because really, that's where our answer lies. I feel like I've been encouraged, rebuked, slapped, hit, kicked, and no, I think it was amazing, you know? There's a superior life to live, but that superior life doesn't depend upon him. He's done everything he's ever going to do. It depends upon us responding to what he's done for us. Literally, that's where it is. Thank God for the prayer chain. You know, we always think, oh my gosh, I have a problem, call the prayer chain. And God's like, the answer's already there. I live in you. Thank God for the prayer of agreement. But he wants to lead us and guide us each individually on our own path of success for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Because when you're all alone somewhere in the desert and there's nobody to call, who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters. Amen. Ring up Jesus. We're going to take a good offering for Jim. Amen. You saw all the countries, all the Bible schools, and over 600 students right now involved all across Europe that he ministers to on a regular basis and the ministry he's involved in. I want to let you know that this is good ground and a good investment. We give as a church on a regular basis, and Don Smith just discussed with me this morning, he's like, we should increase that. We're going to increase. But I want to give a good one-time offering to him as well. Also, if you can, monthly basis, I know a few of you do, back there on the sound booth are the brochures.